the defense. Lead pass.
You are listening to High Flyers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of High Flyers. I'm your host, Caden Angi, and this is a podcast where we talk about the players that don't get talked about. So, I'm going to jump right into it, guys. This week has been an interesting week for basketball. We have the extension deadline coming up in a couple days. The date today is October 15th, for me. And so the extensions are coming up. The regular season is going to be coming up. And we're kind of approaching the last sort of week. We're approaching the week where we start our fantasy draft, where we start our fantasy drafts. This is the week where we predict what's to come in the next season, right? Because we're fast approaching it. Preseason's over. And now we've got, it's about 3 days now before tip-off kicks off. And so because of this, our episode is going to be really focusing again on predicting breakout players for next season. So if you guys remember from last week, we started off with talking about Wembanyama versus Scoot, and then I went on to talk about the team results next year in 30 seconds, the 30 and 30. And so this week, I'm going to be just doing a little catch-up on current events in the NBA. I'm going to touch upon the Jordan Poole versus Draymond Green fight and the repercussions and what I think will happen. I'm going to be talking about Westbrook on the bench. And finally, I'm going to be talking about possible landing spots for Jay Crowder. And finally, we are going to be discussing the breakout players this season. And in this podcast, we are going to call it the Flyers. Okay? These are the players who can fly high. Okay? So, but first we're going to be talking about the current events in the NBA. Okay, let's get right to the Draymond Green and Jordan Poole debacle. I'm going to skip all that punching stuff. I'm going to skip everything, and I'm just going to talk about the future that has for the Warriors. And unfortunately, a couple hours ago, it was announced that Jordan Poole is going to sign a $140 million contract, a four-year contract with the Warriors. I was actually going to talk about what it could mean for how much Jordan Poole is going to get, but we'll get to that in a bit. Let me first talk about what that has in future for the Warriors. So, I don't know what's up with Draymond Green. That punch was unprofessional, I gotta say, when I saw that. But I don't think that'll break apart the Warriors. What would break apart the Warriors, in my opinion, is all the money that they're going to have to spend for them to the luxury tax that the owners are going to keep on having to pay in order to have this current Golden State Warriors team. They're paying Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, now Poole. They're paying them all surplus of $25, $30 million. And so the thing is, Golden State owners argue that it's fair because they drafted every single one of those players except for Andrew Wiggins. But at the same time, I think that money may be the reason why the Warriors will fall apart, and not because of this fight. I was going to say that Jordan Poole handled the fight extremely professionally, and I think that played a part in him getting such a high contract, $140 million. I think it was fair after Tyler Hero signed a $130 million contract, and I believe that Jordan Poole exceeds Tyler Hero in almost every single category besides maybe assists. And I think that Jordan Poole, although the contract was hefty, it was deserved. And his professionalism was really taken into consideration, I think, by the Warriors management. Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, I thought the Warriors won't be able to afford both of them in the long run. And if you're thinking in the short run, I would actually have to go and say I would choose Draymond Green over Jordan Poole if I was to only get one of them. But since we're talking more in the long run, and Draymond Green's going to turn 33, I believe, soon, I think that Jordan Poole is worth the investment, and Draymond Green should not want $27.5 million. I don't think that's worth it for him. He's an amazing player, amazing defender. I think that the Warriors' defense falls apart without him, and their playmaking falls apart. It's going to be so different without him, but I think that he just has to accept, especially with this burst of anger that he had, that if he wants to continue the Warriors, he's going to have to take a little bit of a pay cut. And I think that's fair at this point. Of course, there are other teams which could use Draymond Green's skill and they could benefit from it. I'm thinking you put him on a lot of different teams and he will flourish on them. I'm actually thinking Nuggets. It's weird, but I'm thinking Draymond Green actually might be a really good fit with the Nuggets. And so he's a really, a lot of teams will want him, but I think that if he wants to stay at the Warriors and continue building up this dynasty again, he has to take that pay cut. And any final remarks I have are, yeah, I think that Steve Kerr he's not my favorite coach, but he is a great coach when it comes to morale and what happened, like, and you know what happened with him and Jordan, right? When Jordan punched him, well, that ended up with a championship, right? And so I think that Steve Kerr might be the best coach to settle these kind of disputes. So I think the Warriors are in pretty good hands. I think things like this have happened before. I think it just was blown out of proportion because the video was released, personally. But yeah, I think that at the end of the day, they're both players. They both want to win. And at the end of the day, they are teammates. And I don't think that will be the downfall of the Warriors. I think the downfall of the Warriors, if there will be a downfall, will happen because of financial issues, right? Because they're paying so much in luxury tax. It's insane. The next current event I want to talk about is Westbrook on the bench. So a little bit about that. Westbrook started off the bench yesterday against the Sacramento Kings in the preseason finale. And he got injured soon after. I don't know. I didn't catch the game, but when I saw Russ was starting the bench, I was like, wow. Lakers coaches, Frank Vogel in particular, talked about how Westbrook might take a bench role, but Darvin Ham is actually doing these things. Like, he's actually taking action, right? I think that's great for him. And I think it's great for the Lakers too. I think also Ham stated that he's going to be playing 80 on center minutes. He wants to make 80 the sole focus of the team. And I was like, okay, yeah, says every Lakers coach. They all say that, right? But he's already taking the steps. He's giving 80 center minutes. 80's playing great center minutes. He said that he's going to bench Westbrook. He actually did bench Westbrook. And so he's a man of his word, is what I've kind of gotten from him so far. And I think that is a step in the right direction for the Lakers. Not saying that they will necessarily even make the playoffs, but I'm just saying it's good for their future. And finally, I just want to talk a little bit about Jay Crowder and that whole fiasco about him. It's really weird how the Suns are handling the Jay Crowder. They just released this really cryptic thing saying that he's not going to participate in their training or preseason camp. It made me say, why? Jay Crowder's a pretty valuable player, I think. He's a decent defender, decent three-point shooter. A lot of teams could use him, especially competitors. But I don't know. There might have been something that happened between him and the Suns. I really don't know. But today I'm going to talk about the two teams that are in for Jay Crowder, and that's the Heat and the Hawks. And I'm going to talk about the impact that he could actually have with the Hawks, because the Hawks are looking pretty good. But if I'm being honest, they look like a borderline playing team right now. Upon getting Jay Crowder, it won't boost their chances too much, but it does give them that boost in defense, in particular perimeter defense that I think they need. Like, if you're playing And also, I feel like Jay Crowder could also really help with the development of DeAndre Hunter. He could pass some of his wisdom down to him. And I think that Atlanta going in for Jay Crowder, maybe giving up someone like Jalen Johnson, a young player. I don't know if he will break into Atlanta's rotation anytime soon, but he's a young player, pretty solid. Giving him up to the Phoenix Suns. I don't even know if Phoenix will use him, but it doesn't look like they're getting much traction for Jay Crowder right now. I think that the biggest thing for the Atlanta Hawks is Miami Heat stealing Jay Crowder, because Miami's a very, very, it's a big market team. It's a nice place. Everyone wants to live in Miami. He's played with Miami before. Miami's interested in him. He's interested in Miami. So I think it's up to the Hawks to make a more lucrative trade offer, and it could, I'm not going to say it's going to boost their chances really well, but it will help them in their playoff journey this season. And that's my, that was about 10 minutes. And that's just a recap of this week in basketball, some current events that I found a little bit interesting and that could foreshadow what happens this season. And now we're going to hop on over to this year's Flyers class. All right, now let's get started with the Flyers showcase for this year. So how this works is I'm going to name a couple players from each team who I think have the potential to really improve from last season to this season. And this doesn't have to show on the stat board. This could be in terms of defense, effort, hustle, all these different factors. And so I have about 2 to 3 per team. A lot of these players are, we could call them mid-level players. A couple of them are more unknown than others. And I have a few players out here who are quite well known. However, these players are, I think they're primed for a huge, like a breakout season this year. Okay? Let's start off with the first team part of our Flyer class this year. And so the first team is the Hawks. And for the Hawks, there are going to be two players. And the first player is going to be Onyeka Okongwu. Onyeka Okongwu, this is his third year in the league. Solid, solid center. But he has been playing behind Clint Capela for a while. But slowly, I think last year he started to get more minutes. First season, he was injured for a lot of the year, and when he came back, he was very foul-heavy. I feel like he adjusted to the NBA really well in his second year, and I think that there's only up from here, right? I think that he's primed to get more minutes. I think he's primed to get more rebounds, points. I think that he's going to be an integral part of the Atlanta Hawks in the next season. The second player for the Hawks that I'm going to be talking about is DeAndre Hunter. And so DeAndre Hunter, he's a decently well-known player. A lot of basketball fans do know who he is. He's a wing player, came out of college, great at defense, solid shooter. He had a really good season 2 years ago, kind of regressed a little last season, but he's been suffering a lot of injuries throughout his career, and that's a big problem. However, I think this year's his year, right? He's got DeJounte Murray and Trae Young to play alongside him. What I've seen from preseason games so far is that he's looking ready. He's looking ready for this season. So DeAndre Hunter is the next player part of the class. Now, with the next team, we have three players on this team, and this team's the Nets. We have the first player, Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas was a rookie last year, and I believe that he was the Summer League MVP as well. He's a flamethrower on offense. He's a point guard, shooting guard player. Great shooter. He's a microwave shooter. He gets hot really fast. However, he didn't get a lot of minutes because he does play on the overcrowded Nets. However, with a lot of the changes that the Nets made, especially getting rid of Harden, I think that he can get a lot of valuable shooting guard minutes on the Nets. So I'm putting Cam Thomas on this list. As well, I have Nick Claxton. And Nick Claxton has been he's actually one of the only centers on the Nets. And so they've had Jared Allen in the past. Last season, who are they playing with? They played with Andre Drummond for a bit, and now Nick Claxton is the starter. And I feel like this year is his year. I saw that he's been working on some dribble, like he's been working on his dribbling a lot, and I think he looks good. He looks good. So I think that he's going to improve a lot from last year to this year. And the final player is Da'Ron Sharpe. Now, a lot of you guys might not know who Da'Ron Sharpe is. He came to the Nets at a time where a lot of their players were in protocols. A lot of the players were injured, and they didn't have a lot of players, so they had to call him up. And from what I saw of him, I really like the way he plays. He plays with an intensity. He plays on intensity on defense. His offensive skills do still need refining, which may limit the amount of minutes he gets. But I believe at the end of the day, he's a great wing, and I think that he can actually take a jump this year. And I just wanted to point out that some of these players I'm going to say are pretty risky. Like, it is quite possible that Da'Ron Sharpe will get no minutes this season. However, let's say he gets minutes, he becomes like a next player, he becomes like Caris LeVert, right? A player who didn't get a lot of minutes and basically was integrated to the team when they were quite weak. And now he signed a large contract with the Pacers and was traded to the Cavs, and he's having a good career so far. So Da'Ron Sharpe's on that list. The next team is the Celtics, and the two players I have on the Celtics are Grant Williams and Derek White. Grant Williams had a pretty good season last year, and I only expect him to get better this year. I expect his three-point shooting to get better, and I expect his defense to get even better than it was last year. Derek White is a great defender too, extremely underrated. However, he had a very poor playoff showing. He shot, I think, 20% overall from the field during the playoffs, which is just really poor. However, I think this could be his, I'm going to say, bounce back from the playoffs. I think that he's going to put up some valuable minutes for the Celtics, and he's going to put up some really good stat lines at times. He's a good rebounder for his size, good passer, good shooter. He's a very underrated player, so I'm going to put him on this list. The next team is the Charlotte Hornets. And on the Hornets, I have three players. The first player is PJ Washington. After what happened with Miles Bridges, I think that PJ Washington is going to be around the third option for the Charlotte Hornets. And that's going to put him in a position to get a lot of points and a lot of rebounds. I've liked PJ since college. I'm a Kentucky fan, and he was great on Kentucky. So, and he was great just cleaning the boards and putting the ball back. And I think if he continues with this role with the Hornets, it'll really help the Hornets. Although, like I said in the previous podcast, I don't think the Hornets have particularly high hopes this year. I think that he can actually be in MIP conversation. The second player on the Hornets is Jalen McDaniels. I love Jalen McDaniels. I feel like he has so much potential. He's a great shooter and great defender, and he doesn't nearly get the praise that he's due. And a lot of this comes from the coaching staff with Charlotte in the past. But now they have Steve Clifford, who I hope will give Jalen McDaniels a chance to shine, and he's a really defensive-minded coach, and Jalen McDaniels is a good defensive player at his age, so I think that that partnership could really work out well. The third player I have is Kai Jones. Kai Jones was drafted last year. I had really high hopes for him as a center with the Hornets, a team that really doesn't have a solid center, but they sent him down to the G League. I thought he'd work well with LaMelo, but I guess he just needed some more priming to become an NBA-type player. I see him having a role this season. If you want, let me give you some advice. After this is over, just write Kai Jones down and take a look at some of his dunks in the G League. They are absolutely insane, and I think that he can bring that athleticism into the NBA. And so those are the players on the Hornets. The next team I have are the Bulls. And on the Bulls, I see Patrick Williams having a breakout season. Patrick Williams was actually a lottery pick a couple years ago. A lot of people, he's quite underrated. He put up some really, he's also very injury prone, however. But he missed a lot of last season. But towards the end, he put up some really good games and some really good defense too. So you know, even with his injuries, that his defense hasn't faded away, which is why I'm priming him for a big season. And I think that he could start at power forward for the Bulls and give them some strong interior defense that they really need with Vucevic there. And the other Bulls player that I chose was Ayo Dosunmu. And Ayo Dosunmu is a solid, solid player. Even last season, he was a surprise for me coming into the draft. What did I take away from him? I took away that he's a great passer and great defender. And he's long. He has lateral quickness, which is a strength. And especially with Lonzo Ball, doesn't really have a timeline, injury. I think that Ayo will be the starting point guard for the Bulls. And I really see a drastic leap in his performance last year to this year. Now on the Cavs, I have Isaac Okoro. Isaac Okoro has, I believe this is might be his third or fourth season. And right off the bat, he was called an amazing defender. Jimmy Butler praised him for being a brilliant defender. But the issue is always his offense. His offense has always been inconsistent since coming into the league. He's meant to be a 3-and-D player. However, his three-point shot has been very inconsistent. And so I believe this is the last chance I'm giving Isaac Okoro to be good. And so that's why he's in the flyer class this year. And the other Cavs player I have is Evan Mobley. Now, Evan Mobley is probably the first player, or one of the first players in that I've talked about so far, who is already I think he's a solidified name in the NBA. And so why am I talking about him? I think that he's going to take a huge leap this year. Evan Mobley was great last season, and I only see his greatness improving. He plays defense like a veteran. His offensive abilities were all right in his first year. I see them getting a lot better this year, making him like a great two-way player. And so we'll see in the future how Evan Mobley does. Let's go on to the Mavericks. And the Mavericks have Josh Green. Josh Green is the first name I have there. And I was actually talking with my brothers about this list before, and one of my brothers said that Josh Green is trash. There's no future for him. He's underdeveloped, and I'm inclined to agree with him. However, from what I've seen in the small amount of minutes Josh Green gets, are great bursts of defensive ability. And I think that defense is massively important in the NBA today. And so if he keeps on showing his defensive presence, I think that Jason Kidd will give him minutes this season, and we will see the Josh Green that I see. And the second player on the Mavs is Maxi Kleber. Maxi Kleber just got signed to a 3-year extension with the Mavericks. I think that he's a great, great player. Extremely underrated interior defender. I remember in the playoffs last season, he was a key part of the front court for the Mavs team, which made it all the way to the conference finals. And I just see him getting even better this season, solidifying his role as just a really great, underrated interior presence. All right, let's jump on over to the next team, the Denver Nuggets. The first player that I have on for the Denver Nuggets is Bones Highland. Bones Highland was drafted last year. Great offensive player. Sick name. And I feel like with the departure of Monty Morris to the Washington Wizards, Bones Highland is set to play a really big role on offense off the bench as a guard. And so I think that he needs to improve his facilitating skills. But upon doing so, I think that he could be a real spark. And I think that he could be one of the high flyers on this list who has the most potential. The next player on the Nuggets is Zeke Nnaji. Zeke Nnaji just got his fourth season, which is this one. He just got the team option picked up on it. And he's a great power forward, really good shooter. underutilized his first year. His second year, a lot better. And I feel like Denver just has a knack for not... They develop a lot of players, but then there's some that they leave behind, if you kind of get what I'm saying. And I think that Zeke was one of those players. But he's really caught up from what I've seen of him. And I think that he could actually be a spark off the bench, especially in the front court for the Nuggets. Finally, on the Nuggets, I have three players on the Nuggets, and the third one is Bruce Brown Jr. And so Bruce Brown Jr., I always felt his potential was really limited on the Brooklyn Nets, shadowed behind a lot of good players, Kevin Durant, Harden, Kyrie, and Bruce Brown's basketball IQ, his amazing defense, his ability to switch between almost like four positions. You can play point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. He's so versatile. And when the Nuggets got him, I immediately said, wow, what a steal for the Nuggets. And he really can make a huge impact on the Nuggets. And I'm excited for what's to come of him this year. The next team is the Pistons. And again, I have a player who is fairly well known, Cade Cunningham. However, I expect him to take a huge leap since last season. I have this kind of mentality that players, that point guards, shooting guards, should get a year to adjust, right? Good point guards and shooting guards, they don't need to be good in their first year. They just need to adjust for their second year. This happens so often in the NBA with a lot of point guards and shooting guards. A huge example in the last couple years is Darius Garland. Darius Garland's first year was absolutely horrendous, and now he's an all-star, right? You just got to give these rookies a chance to prove themselves, you know? So I think Cade is going to come to this season with a different mentality. He's going to be the number one option on the Pistons, I feel. And I'm excited to see the backcourt between him and Jaden Ivey. And I think that he's going to take a real leap with them. I think he's going to be averaging somewhere in the 23, 24 points per game zone this season. The other player is a player who I dislike. And this is what's interesting, because my brother actually told me this player's name, and I said, no, he's not going to be a flyer. This guy can't fly. He's a duck. Killian Hayes. But he told me, Killian Hayes, trust Killian Hayes, trust Killian Hayes. Fine, I'll give him a chance. We'll monitor his progress, and we'll see what he does. Maybe he'll be the next best point guard. Probably not, but maybe, right? So Killian Hayes on this list. I don't think he's going to be very good, but let's see. This is what's fun about this podcast. We get to take random players. It's almost like a fantasy draft, except we can't switch up, you know? We have to stick through these players throughout the entire season, you know? Next team is the Golden State Warriors. We're on team number 10. Wow, I got to make this a little bit more faster. And so I have three players. The first player is Kuminga. With the departure of Gary Payton II, Otto Porter Jr., Bielica, all those players, I think Kuminga is set to get a lot more shots off the bench. I think he's primed to get a much bigger role with the Warriors. Even with his limited role, he played great. The other player on the Warriors, I say, is James Wiseman. I think that he's going to provide a lot of really good interior defense to the Warriors. And so he missed the whole of last season. A lot of people forgot about him. But he was the second pick in the draft, right? So there's that. And then the third player is Dante DiVincenzo. I really like the way that DiVincenzo played on the Bucks before he was injured and sent to Sacramento, who obviously did not know how to use them because it's the Kings. And Dante plays with this type of intensity, and he really had really stellar defense in his first years as an NBA player. And I really like that. And his three-point shooting was good too. And I'm excited to see what he can bring to the Golden State Warriors. Great pickup by the Warriors, I feel. Next team is the Rockets. In the Rockets, I have Jalen Green. Jalen Green, I think, had a subpar season similar to Cade last year, but I think that this year's his season. I've seen him, his layups are so athletic. He dropped 22 yesterday. His three-point shooting's better. His mid-range shooting better. His IQ's better. Everything's better about him. And I'm hoping to see a really big jump for Jalen Green. And then we have Josh Christopher. Josh Christopher is a great player. A lot of people don't know him, but he's a great passer and he's pretty good at offense too. And I feel like on the Rockets, who are starting off with a rebuild, he's a great player for them to have. And I think that he'll work great alongside Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, KPJ, and Tari Eason, all those guys. I think that he'll work really well alongside all of them. The next team I'm going to talk about is the Pacers. And for them, I have four different players. The first one's Isaiah Jackson, who, after the Pacers decided to blow it up when they traded Sabonis, Isaiah Jackson kind of took over with that front court presence that was needed, and he played great. I had him in my fantasy team. He was awesome. And I'm expecting him to take a bigger leap this year in solidifying his role, as I believe probably the future of the Pacers when they do eventually trade Miles Bridges, because I do believe that they will trade him soon. Next player is Jalen Smith. He's a player who was underdeveloped by the Suns, but had so much potential that when the Pacers got him, he immediately played pretty well. He's great with rebounds, great with blocks, great defensive presence, young player, great signing by the Pacers this offseason. Next player is O'Shea Brissett, and he's really underrated. Great offensive game. I don't know. He used to play for the Raptors. I used to like him back there. He won the Pacers. A lot of people don't know who he is, but I really see him taking a jump this year. It's kind of being, he's not even that old, but I think he's going to be a little bit of a veteran presence around this really young Pacers team. And the final player on the Pacers is Terry Taylor. Now, I don't know too much about Terry Taylor. I did check his stats, and they were pretty great last season, but it's actually my brother who told me that, look, put Terry Taylor in this. He won't disappoint. He's going to be a flyer this year. So I said, you know what? This was my other brother. I said, you know what? I'll give him a chance, right? One chose Terry Taylor, the other chose Killian Hayes. We'll see how either of them do, you know? Now with the Clippers, I got Terrence Mann, who had very solid season last year without Kawhi. Really had a chance to shine on the backcourt. Shot pretty well. I see his offensive game really improving this year, though. His defense was solid, but I see his offensive game really improving this year. And the other player is Amir Coffey, who I think is one of the most underrated free agent re-signings by the Clippers this season. He could play 2-4, right? Great wing shooter. He's a great shooter, good defender, very quick player. He's young, and I feel like he's a great player for the two-way Clippers. You know, Clippers have a lot of great two-way players. They got Kawhi, they got John Wall, they got Paul George, they got Norm Powell, and I think Amir Coffey is a great addition to this, right? Great offensive, no, not great offense, but like great defensive presence on the team. I see if his offense picks up, I'm just counting on him for his defense. If his offense picks up, that's just a bonus. And wow, I have gone overtime in two different episodes, and I have not even completed what I was going to be talking about. So here's what we're gonna do. I am going to take these 20, or it's actually these 19 teams with all of these different high flyers, you know? And what I'm going to do is I'll throw the others into a podcast next week. And unfortunately, that'd be when the NBA starts, but it's all good. You know my intentions, you know, I'm not going to make random stuff up, you know? I'm going to stick by my players, like I said before. So, how is this going to work? How is this flyer thing going to work? Like, I'm keep on talking about this, but how is it really going to work? Here's how it's going to work. Every week, when I make a podcast, I'm going to highlight some of these names I talked about, and I'm going to say ones who are playing really well, right? I'm going to see which ones are actually actively making an impact to their team, right? And I'm going to have a kind of ranking list for these high flyers, but they'll be in different categories, right? Like, obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be in a different category than De'Ron Sharp, right? But at the end of the year, the top three flyers will be nominated to get the High Flyer of the Year award. And this is like the player who's improved the most from this list. And yeah, it's going to be a fun season, guys. So remember to tune in each week. Okay, so next week, we're going to be covering the rest of those most improved players from that list. We're going to talk about the start of the season, how teams are looking. And finally, I'm going to be getting to those rookies. I was going to get to them in the first episode. No. Second episode? No. It will be in the third episode. We're actually going to start off with the rookies, okay? And I think that's all I have for today. Thank you for tuning in. And look out for next week's episode. thank you for listening to High Flyers. Good night, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Peace.